Thank you very much for our reading, which is Luke chapter 2 and verses 8 to 20. Do please keep that reading open, and if you happen to be listening to it on the tape later on, do have a chance to look at it before we go any further. Because it's Christmas Day, I've got some oranges rather than some sweets, on the basis that I reckon you'll probably have enough chocolate one way and another at home. And I've got just a question that in it, surprisingly for me, has got nothing directly to do with the Bible to begin with. That is, when you're on a train, trains in London, and they're concerned about packages that might be suspicious, can anybody remember what the little sort of slogans are that they say? There are three things. Yep, you've got one hand up going up. What can you remember? What's the first one that he says? See it. Okay, you ready? Catching? Very good. Okay. See it. What comes next? Anybody remember? Yeah, go for it.
Say it.
Say it. And what's the last one?
Sorted.
Sorted. Okay. So see it, save it, sorted. And some can catch and some can't catch, and the vicar is not very good at throwing. Okay. So I want just to reflect about the shepherds today and think a bit about them. And I reckon we could modify what what we would need to say. Instead of saying, see it, say it, and sorted. For the shepherds, the first thing that we might say for them is hear it. They saw angels, yes, but they heard what the angel said. Hear it. And then what did the shepherds do? They heard what the angels had said. And then the second thing that they did was that they tested it. Hear it, test it. They went to look for themselves. And then the last thing that they did was to tell it. So I just want to think for a moment or two about those three headings. What was it? Now, we all ought to remember what it was that the angel said. What did the angel say to the shepherds? You can find it in the scripture. We've also seen the verse. What did the angel say? I've got a few more of these satsumari things. So, Ezram, here we go. What did the angel say? Why don't you read me the verse?
Glory to God in the highest heaven on earth,
that's what all the angels said, but a little bit further up, what did they say? What did they say about what had happened?
Do not be afraid.
Yeah, and then what?
See, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people.
Go on.
To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah. The Lord.
Excellent. Okay, thank you very much indeed. So what they're saying is that there's good news. There's good news because the Messiah has come. Now, the Jews have been waiting for the Messiah, God's anointed, for hundreds of years. And the shepherds hear, the angels say, that the Messiah has been born. And he's been born in the city of David. But of course, who knows how many babies are likely to be born in Bethlehem? Not very many, probably, but, you know, say a couple of little boy babies had been born in Bethlehem that night. How would they know where to go? How would they know which one was the Messiah, the baby? What does the scripture tell us? How do they know? How do they know which baby it is? You need to open your Bibles. You need to have a look. Tristan, go on, go for it. They heard, what did they hear the angel say? We had Ezram read the first bit. What?
Get your Bible out. Get your Bible out.
They heard. Ezram, I know that you know, but I want other people to share in the knowledge. I want other people to get their Bibles open and have a look and tell me what. How did they know which baby it was? Afua. Bands of cloth we've got in ours. Yes, okay. So what would you expect a baby, even in the first century, what would you expect a baby to be wrapped up in? Well, it's interesting, isn't it? You see, we think that all babies born in Bethlehem would have been put in a manger and wrapped up in swaddling clothes. The whole point is that actually it was pretty unusual. Just bands of cloth. She hadn't got a baby grow. She hadn't got any of the sort of kit that we would have today. Her mum wasn't around. Her mum was way back in Nazareth. She was in this strange place where she'd never been. It was Joseph's family home, but it wasn't her family home. And so she did the best she could. She wrapped him up in bands of cloth. Yeah, we've got swaddling bands or swathing bands. We've had it down the years. But the idea is that you would have wrapped them up. She just was modifying what she'd got. But more strange than that, where had she put the baby? Very good. She'd put the baby in the manger. Now, is that where you would expect a baby to be put? No. That's the whole point. It's a sign to the shepherds that baby is the baby who is the Messiah. You would not expect a baby to find a baby in a manger. It's not the right place for a baby. It's a safe place if that's the best you can do, but it's not what you would expect. So there wouldn't have been any other newborn babies in Bethlehem that day who were in a manger wrapped up in bands of cloth. So it was a sign, and that was what the shepherds heard. So they heard something. They heard it, that this one was the Messiah. And so what do they do in verse 15? What do they do in verse 15? Lot, are you getting a hand up? What do they do in verse 15? Your daughter will help you out. What do they do in verse 15?
They go to Bethlehem.
Okay, so there we go. They go to Bethlehem. So in other words, they're testing it. They've heard something. And what could they have done? They could have decided, well, we've had a bit too much to drink tonight. It's all a big hallucination, these angels coming in the sky. Or they could just think it was, well, it's just wishful thinking. People have been expecting Messiah for the last 1,000 years. He's not going to come today. He's not really going to arrive. Or they could have think, well, we did go a bit too much on whatever there was, the sort of first century equivalent of the rum or something. And so they think, well, we better just go to sleep and in the morning it'll all be sensible again. But they didn't do that. We know that they went and tested it. What the angels had told them, they checked it out. And you've got verse 16 there. So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph, and the child lying in the manger. And then what was their response to all of this? If you look, for instance, at verse 17 and verse 20, what was their response? You get a hint on the heading on the board. What's their response? They told people about it. Absolutely brilliant. They told people about it. They said, this one, that we saw an angel. And the angel said, go and look for a baby that's lying in a manger. And we went and checked it out. That's how it is. So that baby must be Messiah. So we want to praise God and glorify him. Hear it, test it, tell it. And I want to suggest that there is an application for us in all of that. First of all, the hear it. Now, we've been talking today about the good news about Christmas. We've got our signs outside which say, Jesus, the reason for the season. I know that most people think it's about having chocolate for breakfast. That was what I was told was going to be the thing about Christmas Day. The really exciting thing about Christmas Day when we asked about it on Sunday was that you can have chocolate for breakfast, probably, and lunch, and tea, and supper, and all over again. But we know Jesus is the reason for the season. So we're hearing that. Another of these Satsumiri things. What is the most translated verse in the Bible? In other words, the one verse in the New Testament which has been translated into more languages than any other verse. Anybody going to guess for that? What do you think? The most famous verse, the most translated verse in the... John 3:16. Well done, Mira.
God so loved the world that he gave his only son.
Absolutely right. Okay. So John 3:16. Let's turn on to that in the Bibles. I haven't got a page number for that. So the first person to give me the page number gets a satsuma. What's the page? 90. Well done, Richard. Thank you very much indeed. Okay, so on in the New Testament to number 90, to page 90. This verse, John 3:16, has been described as the gospel in a nutshell. So when you're all there, John 3:16, page 90, we're going to read it together. Okay, everybody there? For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. So that is what we hear. That's, in a sense, that's God's word to us, that he's taken the action of giving his Son. And there's a response needed. We have to believe it. And it's really serious, because if we don't believe it, we perish. And if we do believe it, we have eternal life. In other words, it's probably the most important decision that we ever make in life. And most of the world doesn't hear that. Most of the world has got completely caught up in the fact that it's all about food and TV and presents. But if it's true that the baby born in Bethlehem that day is the Savior of the world, and believing in him makes the difference between perishing eternally or living eternally, then it really, really matters. And so we need to do the next thing. That's what we've heard. That's the promise of God. That's the statement that's made. We've heard it. Are we willing then to test it? Now, I guess that most of the people who have come to church on Christmas Day on a Tuesday morning, it's because you believe it. But there may be some who are going, well, could be too good to be true, not quite sure, there's so much sort of stuff that's gone on top of it, all this sort of stables and kings and crowns and stuff and things, and is it all just a nice myth that makes us feel better in the middle of winter, when the days have started to get longer and the light has come in, then maybe with just about, in other words, I'm not sure that I believe it. And the right response is to do what the shepherds did. Go and test it. Look, ask questions, read books, think about it, look on the internet, decide whether this is true or not. Because it really matters if it is that you're going to perish or have eternal life. It really matters. And therefore it's worth testing it. And once we've got to the point where we're saying, yes, I do believe it, then it becomes really important that we tell other people about it. Just as the angels were sent by God to tell the shepherds, they went and checked it out. And the shepherds then went and said, it's just as the angels said. Give glory to God, praise him, respond in the right way. Because finally, Messiah has come. We need to do exactly the same thing, to tell other people about it. When we've heard it for ourselves, we've tested it for ourselves, and saying, yes, we believe this, we had that creedal statement at the beginning of our service, now we need to tell it. We need to live in the light of it, and we need to be willing to speak of it. And so I'm going to give to all the adults in the church, which Sarah Jane is going to help me to do. Can you give to all the adults? And Tristan is going to help me to do. Can you give to all the adults? It's a little booklet, which is called Two Ways to Live. And it's just a very simple explanation of what it means that Jesus is the Messiah, what he grew up to do. I've often said at Christmas time that we wouldn't bother with Christmas were it not for Jesus went on to do later in his life. It was because he died on the cross for the sins of the world so that we could be friends with God again. That's the difference between perishing, carrying our own sin before God, and having eternal life, being forgiven because Jesus has taken the price for our sin. And then more than that, he was raised to new life. It's because he did those things on the first Easter that we now have Christmas. I know that most of the world thinks Christmas is the important one and Easter they don't really quite understand. But it's because of Easter that we celebrate Christmas. After this service, we're going to have a communion service. And it's one of the strangest things that Christians do. Because to celebrate a birthday, Jesus is more or less 2,018 years old. To celebrate a birthday, what are we going to do? At a communion service? We're going to remember his death. It's a very strange way. You know, if you've got some general or somebody from the past and you want to celebrate and honor him and you remember his birthday and you have a big dinner to celebrate his birthday, you're going to gather together and you're going to talk about his life and all the things that he did and how wonderful it was. And yeah, maybe he's dead now, but you won't spend much time talking about his death. Christians celebrate Jesus' birthday by remembering his death. So we have this same sort of response as the shepherds. We hear it, the good news. Good news of great joy, as we've said. We test it. Is it true? Are we willing then to tell it to others? And so we may be on that place where we're just hearing it and we're still in this testing stage. It may be that we've heard it and we've tested it. We say we believe it and we have a responsibility to tell it. Because how else are all the people who are not in church this morning going to hear about the truth of the Lord Jesus? It's only through Christians living differently and then earning the right to speak about the Lord Jesus that they will come to hear. They can't hear in any other way. The media rubbish Christian stuff a lot of the time. But it's because they see people who live differently and ask us about that. It's because we are in the vanguard of caring. And I think St. Stephen's is great in a number of ways, but actually I think it is rather to our shame that we had a member of our congregation who was on television this week saying how hard it is to be lonely. She's an older lady in our congregation, and she's very lonely. And we're not actually very good at caring for one another in that way. We should be better at it, because it's modeling something of the love of the Lord Jesus and the care and concern that we have. So it's part of our response. Hear it, test it, tell it. Hear the good news. John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Test it. Don't just say, well, I'll hang around and then next year I'll come back again at Christmas. No, test it. Is it true? Read the booklet. Think about it. Come and talk to me. Take it seriously. And then, if we believe it, tell it, just as the shepherds did. Let's bow our heads to pray. Father, we do thank you so much for your love for the whole world, the world that's in rebellion against you, the world that ignores you, the world that didn't receive the Lord Jesus when he first came. Father, thank you that your word says again and again and again that you love us, even though we go our own way. But you're not going to allow us to go our own way forever. We have a choice to make. And Father, thank you that you gave the Lord Jesus to be the Savior of the world and that he saved us by dying on the cross for us. Father, thank you that we have had the chance to hear that good news. We have opportunity in all sorts of different ways to test that for ourselves. And we pray that in the coming year, you would make us better at living for Christ and telling of his love to those around us, particularly with those whom we ourselves love. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.